You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
Wow, there's a lot in there. There's a lot in there this morning. And it's interesting, actually, I took a phone call this week from somebody that said, I started in Romans, and I carried on in Romans, and I ended up reading all of Romans. There's a lot in Romans, actually, that we can unpick this morning. But I've had a few questions thrown at me over the last few weeks, and a few things that I feel that God wants to actually unpick. So I've got a couple of questions for you this morning. We hear about grace a lot in church world. But what do you think it really means? I'm not sure I'm going to give you the answers to these. I'm going to throw them out at you and maybe look at the odd one of you and see what you want to do about that. How can you apply grace so that it's more than just a church term, but something you experience through the week? There's a question for us, isn't it? Why do we as humans very naturally drift to rules and regulations rather than a relationship with God? Do you find that you're in that place where you kind of, oh, hang on a minute. Why is it that we insist on grace for salvation, but not for everyday practical life? Whoa, some good questions in here, isn't there? Good questions in there. Actually, a friend of mine, she was challenging me with that. So I was saying, I need to dig into this thing called grace. And there were some questions he threw back at me. What we're doing, we're in the middle of a four-week mini-series, or we're in the week two of four. We're calling it Purified. And last week, I was looking, if you remember, for those that were here, chasing rainbows, chasing bubbles, those things that are always sort of out of reach. We're in Ecclesiastes, and in Ecclesiastes, there is that saying that says, stop chasing the wind. Stop chasing after those things that you think you need. Now, that could be, we equated the bubbles, and the kids loved the bubbles. As soon as you blow bubbles, we go, ooh, chase the bubbles. Even the grown-ups wanted to do it. But actually, what are those bubbles? Is it money? Is it relationship? Ecclesiastes went on, didn't it? It says, the eye cannot get enough of seeing. It can't get enough of hearing. And we're the same. Oh, I've got a little bit of money this week. I was like, oh, but if I had a little bit more, then I could do, oh, I've got lots. I've won the lottery. Let me go and get a bit more. I can do, but just never get enough. They're these bubbles and rainbows that we keep chasing after. Ecclesiastes says it's all meaningless. Stop chasing the wind. You lack nothing, however, in God's presence. And that's where we ended up at the end of that. When do you get to that point in life where you go, enough? And for a moment, you just sit there in God's presence and stop chasing the wind. What a place we got to last week. I don't know whether you left here, whether you got to that place, you just went, oh, do you know what, I'm just going to sit down this week and stop chasing after stuff. So this week we're coming into a question I've got here. Are there a bunch of laws or rules we need to follow? Or has actually God provided another way? And we're going to call that All About His Grace this week. We've obviously looked at some of that with the children this morning. I was really trying to unpick the idea of grace for kids and grace for adults, because actually, although it's the same grace, I think we enter in a different way when we're little. We don't come with all the baggage that our children come with. And they challenged us about that the other week. Oh, you grown-ups have got so much stuff you've got to work through. I haven't got that yet. Very interesting, isn't it? So week three, we're going to press on to, so why Jesus? And I really want to get into why Jesus is important. And I'm going to call that In Christ Alone, week three. And then finally, in week four, the place I want us to get to, having looked at that idea of saying enough, I'm stopping chasing rainbows. I understand what your grace is all about, that is freely given. I understand who Jesus is and why it's important. I have got 100% assurance that I can step into that eternity with God. But the good news that we want to pick up on is that we don't earn this for later. It happens right here, right now. God's work of salvation is right here, right now for you this morning. You have full assurance of that. Interesting talking with you, Simon. You've got a nan. that's at the end of life. And she's having that end of life care at the moment, but she's got full assurance. And it was a term that Simon used. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. Full assurance. Have you got full assurance this morning that God loves you so much, that everything he's said and he's done, everything that he's promised, everything has been fulfilled? And you can have that 100% assurance that when this life is over, you will be with him. And if you haven't got that, that's where I want you to be. So, in Galatians, I'm going to read to you from Galatians. If you want to have a look in Galatians 3, 2 to 5, you're very welcome to dive in. I don't think I've got it on the screen other than the reference. So I'll read this to you. Galatians 3, 2 to 5. The only thing I want to learn from you is this. Did you receive the Spirit by doing the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? Although you began with the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by human effort? Have you suffered so many things for nothing, if indeed it was for nothing? Does God then give you the Spirit and work miracles amongst you by your doing the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? You know, I think for many of us, when we became Christians, we entered into something amazing. And I've got a question here, and it kept coming back to me, so I put it in bold on my sheet. It says, are you stood outside the throne room this morning? Are you stood outside that throne room of God? We were going to sing the song, Behold Our God, seated on his throne. Because actually, going back to where we are in Galatians, we'll unpick this a bit in a minute. I think we might have entered into something and then we picked up some crazy works program. Let's pray and we'll dive into the scriptures. Father, I just really pray as we open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, maybe even right now, you take us back to that place of that first love, when we first got it, when we first understood what it meant to be a Christian, when we first understood what it meant to accept that a holy God had done something amazing for us, and we accepted that gift freely, and we felt that we could conquer the world. Father, will you just help us now come back to that place as we open up your word this morning? And Lord, for those that haven't entered into that place yet, may they this morning have fresh eyes to see what a wonderful God that you've done, that they can put their whole trust in that God of grace this morning, we pray. Amen. Amen. So we had Romans 3, and Romans 3 is talking a lot about law. And if you look in Romans, there's lots of quotes in law, and you start going, oh, the law this, the law that, the law, because of the law, free from the law, because, you know, there's a lot of law in here. And it can sound really, really confusing sometimes, because surely we live under grace. The opening scripture there in Galatians says that when we look back to those first steps, there was a period of time when we simply accepted that gift of salvation. You realize it was something you just had to accept. You accepted it. You didn't do anything to earn it. There was a moment where you went, I accept that God has done that for me. It was then all about that indescribable gift. That gift of salvation was all about his grace. And this has been what's really challenging me as I've been listening to some guys online and other training that we had as part of a course. The chap came and spoke about our lives, once we become Christians, go and end up on some crazy works-related program. We do seem to go, oh, great, you become a Christian. So what we need to do is you need to do all of this stuff now. And actually, people then start saying, well, I've got to do all this stuff in order to keep my salvation. Maybe that's where that phrase, I'm not a very good Christian, comes from. Because we think, well, I haven't done enough to enter into this. Harry Hill would say, when you've got two things picked against each other, what's best, law or grace? Well, there's only one way to find out. Yes. I think the thing is this morning, if we understand the difference between law and grace, you'll find that that foundation of the gospel, the good news, will give you that full and joyful Christian life. And I believe that's true. Even in the dark times, we can have a joyful Christian life. And I'm not preaching prosperity this morning. I'm preaching about perspective, okay? We need to get some perspective on this. So just to wrap some of this up, what is a covenant? You see, we speak about covenants. I mentioned covenant this morning, and we're going to pick up a lot more details on what a covenant actually means when we look at some stuff with Jesus next week. But essentially, as we saw with the kids this morning, that dad that made that contract with the child, there was a covenant, there was an agreement. That covenant that God had with us had life or death consequences. It has life or death consequences. And I'm going to try, I've actually made a little chart, and somebody said to me, oh, your little chart's quite good. So I'm quite pleased with my little chart. I haven't managed to get it on the screen because it's, but I've got a little chart. So I'm going to try and put this up on the screen and try and give you a little bit of history about how I see the history, these covenants, these agreements that we had, why Jesus is important, and what is this thing called grace. It's not quite an eye test, but you can hopefully see some of that on the screen. So originally, God made a covenant, an agreement, with his chosen people, the Jews. And during that time, there was this thing called the Mosaic law that came about, a law given to Moses, which was the Ten Commandments. Who knows the Ten Commandments? In order. Yeah, good. Wow, that was good. Yeah, there's no other way to learn them other than in order. But there was a bunch of laws given, and obviously these laws were broken. And we'll come into this thing about covenant a little bit more later. But when that covenant was broken, it was a blood covenant that was made. And therefore, when that covenant is broken, blood needs to be shed because the covenant has broken. That's what the covenant demanded. Now, it was for the Jews only. And if you actually wanted to become under this covenant and under all these laws, you converted into Judaism. And then Jesus came. And Jesus, as we read there in Romans, was talking about this. He came for the Jew and the Gentile. Jesus fulfilled all sorts of things. We'll pick this up a bit more next week, but he fulfilled what was called an Abrahamic covenant, the covenant made with Abraham, the Mosaic covenant, and the Davidic covenant. And actually, if you look in your Bibles in Luke 1, 31 to 33, there is actually a scripture that says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Jesus was the fulfillment of these covenants. You can read it there. Now, Jesus was obviously perfect. He paid the price once and for all for these laws. And I'll say we'll pick up on this a little bit more next week. But his blood was shed. Because I think some people say, well, why did Jesus have to die? You know, Jesus died for my sins. Why would someone have to die? Why is there shedding of blood? And we'll look at that, like I say, in a bit more detail next week. But Jesus came. He was that perfect sacrifice. No more taking the spotless lamb to the temple. Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. His blood was shed. And it's given freely to all who accept. And that's that word, grace, that we're looking at this morning. Now, grace is for all New Testament believers. It doesn't wipe out the law. And you can come and challenge me on this afterwards, because a few people are going, hang on a minute, we're free from the law now. It releases us from it. But I actually believe, like the little girl with her puppy, she's not just going to fulfill the law, she's going to go beyond it. Give 10%? Why not give 20? Why not give 90 and keep 10 for yourself? Then see how God starts doing stuff. We're servants of the Lord. And actually, I believe living under that grace gives us a greater responsibility. So what is grace? What is grace? Grace, I've got some quotes down here, is generous love in the gift of his son, our Savior. John MacArthur puts it like this. Someone proposed an acronym. You've probably heard this. I think different people put a different R in. But God's riches at Christ's expense, God's redemption, some have said, at Christ's expense. It's not a bad way to characterize grace, but actually, theologically, it's not quite there. One of the best known definitions is only three words, God's unmerited favor. A.W. Tozer expanded that and said, grace is the good pleasure of God that inclines him to bestow benefits on the undeserving. Grace is the good pleasure of God that inclines him to bestow benefits on the undeserving. And Berkhof, he's put it a little bit more to the point like this, is the unmerited operation of God in the heart of man affected through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Got the Holy Spirit in there as well. You see, grace isn't just unmerited favor. Okay? If favor is bestowed on sinners who deserve wrath, you could kind of say that's unmerited favor. But showing kindness to a stranger, now that's unmerited favor. But do that to your enemies, and that's grace. That's grace. What does Scripture say? If you look in Romans 5, if you press on a little bit further, Romans 5, 6 to 8 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. And you probably know this next bit well. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I just find that amazing. While we were still sinners, while I still had my back to God, he loved me so much. And we're going to look at that, like I say, in a bit more detail about why it's all about Jesus, why Jesus is actually important next week. But we've got that verse above our heads, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And I was challenged, wasn't I, about that song I mentioned, and it keeps coming back to me, and when God keeps throwing it back at me, I know he probably wants us to either learn it or sing it or take it away so that it sits on your heart. But back in Romans 3, verse 22, the righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. God's righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Now, it's not actually about my faith. It's not about what I do, because I'll be on a works program again. But it's believing that what Jesus has done is enough. He did all that was required. And that's why Jesus is so important, that he has done everything for us. You might feel you're on some crazy works thing in order to get this right. I've got to earn this salvation. I've got to earn my relationship with God. And God says, no, just stop for a moment. Just freely come. I've done it all for you. I'm going to play you a song, which is a song I keep mentioning because I just felt it was really important. Jesus is God's righteousness revealed. Jesus is that way that God says, this is the life to live. So Nikki's going to play this for us on the computer. Just sit for a moment, and then we'll pick up a little bit more on this in a second. But we'll learn it now because we can sing it next week then, you see. Jesus, God's righteousness revealed.
Jesus, God's righteousness revealed. The Son of Man, the Son of God, his kingdom comes. Jesus, redemption sacrifice. Majesty of the
So do we still need to keep the law then, Darren? The Mosaic law, the Old Testament law, don't need it today anymore, do we? Do we need that anymore? Law not needed is the question it says up there. Okay, turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy then. 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17. Why read and study the Old Testament? Paul says, all scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, when this was written, obviously, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the phrase all scripture was actually referring to what? The Old Testament. Didn't have that all collated then, did they? God revealed himself through what was written, speaking about his holiness, goodness, his sovereignty, his omniscience, his omnipotence, lovely O words, any more you can think of, love, and so on. For the people of Israel, or those converting to Judaism, the law served as their rule of life, learning to approach life God's way. Get that? Learning to approach life in God's way. And the law God gave to Israel, it came in three sections. We've got those up on the screen. There was the civil part of the law. There's the religious part of the law. And there was the moral part of the law. Now, obviously, in the New Testament, we're not under the same religious laws anymore. But God's moral law hasn't changed. We know it's not right to murder, to cheat, to steal, to lie. And there is guidance in there today, I believe, about marriage, relationships. We're told to obey the laws of the land, aren't we? Unless they, what I would say, directly conflict with God's law. But the whole point of the law is this: it can't make you right with God's, but it can reveal that you've got a problem. Remember our reading earlier, Romans 3, 19 to 20 says this: now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. We can't use the law as that stairway to heaven. You can't climb it. You can't use it as a works program to earn the acceptance of God. And I think as Christians, sometimes we're really guilty, as I said right at the beginning, putting people on works program. And the whole point of this idea of purified over these 4 weeks is to say, look, release yourself from that works program. I want you to get to that place where you go, Jesus has paid it all. God has done it all for me, and I can have full assurance in that. There's a book called Classic Christianity, and Bob George wrote this quote: what God wants for us is to trust him and his word. The word that tells us that Christ has done it all, and to act on it by approaching the throne of grace with confidence so you may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. He's quoting scripture there, Hebrews 4. But if you don't trust that you've been made totally acceptable in God's sight, you'll never have the boldness to approach him. Let me read that again. If you don't trust that you have been made wholly acceptable in God's sight, you'll never have the boldness to approach him. And this is where this question kept coming back to me. You'll linger outside the throne room, trying to find a way to get worthy enough to go in. Trying to find a way to get worthy enough to go in. The end result is that you will avoid going to your only source of help. That's God, when you need him the most. How sad is that, that you think, I cannot approach God because I'm not good enough? I've got that question again. Are you stood outside the throne room this morning? Is that where you're at? Remember that thing that we keep coming back to time and time again in the Living Well series, that whole idea of love. Love was the source of the well. Love is the thing we take from the well. The motto verse that we've got above here, the start of the series last week, and now the whole law can actually be summed up in two sentences. It's there in Luke 10, the parable of the Good Samaritan, and he asks the question, what is written in the law? He, that's Jesus, replied, how do you read it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You see, Jesus replied, you've answered correctly, do this and you will live. See, the law is there for the world to see what a holy God demands. There is a standard here. God does have a holy standard. But grace is there that allows anyone to step into what would seem an impossible thing to either understand or do or follow. Grace is there. Are you stood outside the throne room this morning? You see, a friend was sharing with me this week, and he's talking about balance. With all of this, it's about getting the right balance. The balance between God's word and God's spirit. A balance between walking in the fear of God, too much of that, it tips one side, which is his moral law, yet walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, which is his grace. You can read that in Acts 9. We've got to get the balance right here. Fear of God, comfort of the Holy Spirit, words and grace. Word is the law, the Spirit is grace. If we only go for the word, we dry up. How many churches do you know? Stuck in the word, stuck in the mud. Yeah? If we only go for the Spirit, and you can maybe think of some of the churches that are full of the Spirit, they blow up. If we go for the word, we dry up. If we go for the Spirit only, we blow up. But if we have a healthy balance of word and spirit, we grow up. We grow up. So back in Galatians, where we started, let's not put each other on some crazy works program here. You can't earn God's salvation. You can't earn it. And that is the whole point of grace this morning. The God of grace has done it all. Once and forever. And by his Spirit, he will eventually complete that good work in you. And that invitation this morning, I believe God is saying to all of us, come in to the throne room. Come in. Come in. You can go beyond the law, but you'll live and you'll give so much more. I think when you get to that place, you don't just do, God requires me to do that. I love God so much. I will do these things, but I do that in that absolute assurance, that confidence that I can enter into the throne room with my Father. Not that I do all this first and then maybe I might get in. And that is where I want us to end up at the end of these 4 weeks. I want you to be just beaming when you leave here, saying, wow, God has done it all for me. Do you remember that feeling when you first sat down? You're probably actually broken. I think I was probably crying when it happened for me. Couldn't believe what God had done. And I'm just like, wow, he's done it. He did all that for me. He did all that for me. And now I'm going to go off and do all of this stuff and try and earn it now. But you know what I mean? It's not scout badges. You don't need scout badges for this. God of grace, just accept that free gift this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are that God of grace. You are a God that is not some distant being, entity, that we might one day be able to have a friendship or a relationship with. You are a God that loves us so much that that beautiful community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit wants to welcome us in. And because you want to welcome us into that relationship, you have done all of that hard work. You have paid that price. You have fulfilled all the things that need fulfilling. All the boxes are ticked. The price is paid in full. And that is a free gift that you give to us. Not by works, but just by saying thank you to a wonderful Savior that has done it all for us. And Lord, if there's anything that we're doing now that is stopping us from entering in, maybe there's bubbles we're chasing, maybe there's another rainbow that we're running after. Lord, help us to get to that place. Draw us to that place where we shout enough and we just want to sit for a moment in your wonderful presence. Lord, we know that when we're there, we will marvel over the things that you want to do in this place, Lord. And that great commission then to go into all the world and make disciples will be written so much on our hearts. We'll be bursting to do that. But Lord, we'll be doing that from that place of absolute security. Know that we can step into that throne room, knowing that that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit community is a community to which we belong. Father, we might be able to invite others into that place, that Lord, your Holy Spirit will come and do that amazing work that only he can do in transforming those souls that are heading to an eternity without you. Father, will you just fill us with that passion this morning for those that maybe we've already prayed for this morning, that they may enter in to that wonderful relationship with you, accepting that free gift that that God of grace gives to us. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.